Okay, let's open. Let me ask that again. Come on, y'all. I'm not going to drag this out. We don't want to drag this out. Are we ready for God's word this morning?
Amen.
That's better. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 3, please. We're going to conclude our series, our mini-series on the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, and we talked about, let me just do a little quick review to bring us up to snuff. I won't tarry long. But suffice it to say, church family, that we need to grow more in our faith and learn more about Christ. Some of y'all have found out that the more you learn about Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the more you find out that how little you know of Him. Amen? Wow, it's just unbelievable. And to me, it's like my new car. You know, finding out the new bells and whistles on my Echo Sport. In fact, the other day when it began to rain, you know, I was pulling out of Casey's parking lot, and then it began to rain, and the wipers automatically came on. I didn't put them on. I didn't flip them on. They just came on automatically. And when the rain got heavier, they got faster automatically. And when the rain slowed down, it just kind of slowed down. I'm just like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then when I finish at the gym at Planet Fitness, I just take my phone out. I'm in the locker room in the gym, and I start my car with my phone. It has an app there, and by the time I get to the car, it's already running. Pretty cool, huh? Who's bad? Yo, pasta is bad. Thank you for giving. All right. So we talked about Jesus, you know, and at the time of Jesus, Jesus spoke of the searchable riches of Him. He said, He told the people of His day, He said, search the Scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 39, He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these Scriptures are the very ones that testify of Me. Jesus said, they're the very ones that testify of Me. So what was He talking there? He was talking about the Old Testament Scriptures, how the Old Testament Scriptures are in fact, listen carefully, the searchable riches of Christ. The searchable, you know, truth be told, Brother Scott can attest to this, the Old Testament screams out about Jesus, doesn't it, brother? It points to this coming Messiah. It points to Him. Almost in every book of the Bible, in the Old Testament. And so those are the searchable riches of Christ. What about, though, the unsearchable riches of Christ? Well, let's look in Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles, notice, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Everybody say mystery, please. All right, so let's see what the fellowship of the mystery is, which from the beginning of the ages has been what? Hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now, let's all say now, please, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So there's been this mystery that's been kept secret. In fact, the Greek word for mystery is mysterion, which simply means this, a sacred secret. God had within Himself, in His wisdom, in His knowledge, a sacred secret for ages that King David didn't know about, that Jeremiah the prophet did not know about, that Isaiah the prophet did not know about, that Moses the lawgiver did not know about. God had this secret, and God determined that that secret should be shared with whom? The church. Right? That the church should be made aware with this secret that God had kept hidden for ages past from the great men and women of the old covenant, right? And He says, now is the time to make it revealed or make it known to the church, and that the church could make it known to the Gentiles. And so let's see what that secret is. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to jump into verse 24, Colossians 1:24. That's two books right from, was it two books, Ephesians? No, it's just one book. Oh, two books, Philippians, Colossians, right? Colossians 1, let's read. Begin reading in verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Notice verse 26. The mystery, let's all say mystery again, please. Again, mysterion, Greek language, Greek word for mystery, and that means sacred secret, a sacred secret. The sacred secret which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Let me ask you a quick question. Who are the saints of God? We are. The church, right? If you're saved, if you're born again, come on, church family, we are saintly with the holiness of Jesus Christ, right? He has rubber stamped us in him. Jesus has rubber stamped us as holy with his holiness in the eyes of the Holy Father. Amen? So when the Father looks upon us, you know, he doesn't see your nasty self. He sees your holy self in Christ, right? And that's how he deals with us primarily. Now, that does not, that's not to say that God is blinded to our personal, if we have sin in our lives, he's not blinded to that, but he thankfully deals with us on the holiness of Christ and not on our own merit. Because what would happen, church family, if God dealt with us on what we did deserve instead of his grace and the gift of righteousness through Christ? What would happen to us? We'd be all busting hell wide open, right? We all would be busting hell wide open. It is for, but for that gift of grace, but for that gift of sanctification through Christ. All right, so it is being revealed to us. Now, verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, of the sacred secret among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Notice here's one of the revelations of this mystery. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. There are no Old Testament scriptures that testify to that this living Christ would be living in you and living in me, in our spirits, are there? There are none. This was a revelation kept secret for ages, generations, from those leaders in and figureheads in the Old Covenant to us. Up until to us today, where now Paul the Apostle was been given the task by God to break it down for us, what it means to be, to have Christ in us. How many of us know, church family, we don't need to go to the mountains to try to connect with God. We don't need to go to the beach to connect with God. Yoo-hoo, the words of life are up here. Everybody, they're like, I promise you, I'll make you the same promise I've made you for months. If anybody ever walks in with six arms and 10 eyes, I will stop the service. And I'll say, yo, check it out. But until then, it's a standard issued human being. Right? All right, let's move on. So, Christ in us. But listen, that's not all, church family. As big as that is, having Jesus living inside of us, that is not all there is to this sacred secret. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have. Verse 1. For I have for you, for those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of full assurance of understanding. How many of y'all would like to attain the riches of full assurance and understanding of Christ? Oh man, that's why we're here, right? That's why our Bibles are open. All right, reading, moving right along to the knowledge of the, here we go again, the mystery, the sacred secret of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge. Okay, stop there. In whom are hidden all the mysteries, all the sacred secrets of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In Christ are hidden. Okay? So now let's take a closer look at this sacred secret. Go down with me, please, to verse 9. And buckle your seatbelts. This is a seat-buckling revelation. For in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of God dwells in Christ while Christ was on earth in His body. Isn't that what it says? All the fullness. Okay, once again, I took Greek, and that's how I got in trouble with my best friend. I ratted him out. Third semester Greek. But the word for fullness is the Greek word pleroma. Did you take Greek, Pastor Ed? So I'm correct, right? Pleroma, thank you. We have two Greek geeks here. Pleroma means the, listen carefully, the essence of God. The essence of God dwelt in Jesus. Can we say it like this? That God the Father's spiritual DNA was in God the Son's spiritual DNA? It was one and the same. The fullness, the essence of God, the essence of God, all of it dwelt in Jesus in one human body. So, to those people who don't believe that Jesus is all God, does this verse nail that issue on the head? Right. Right? In Christ dwells all the essence of God in one body. Okay? Now, we're there, but notice, it doesn't stop with Christ. Who does he talk about in the next verse, verse 10? And you, who is you? Us. Is it us here, 2025-20 Locust Grove Church? Is it us here today? And you are what? Complete in Him. You are complete in Him. On the tail end of Paul the Apostle saying that Christ possesses all the essence of divinity of God the Father, that in Him is that DNA, then he turns the attention to saying, now you guys are what in Him? Complete. Okay, so let me break it down a little further. How many of us have ever felt in our relationship with God that we did not measure up? I'll raise both hands. I'll raise a leg. If I could raise all fours, I'd be on my butt. But you get the picture. For decades, I felt that I always fell short. I always fell short. But you know what the problem with that was? I kept looking at me instead of looking at Christ and what Christ has made me to be in Him. Because who am I in Christ? I am complete. Let's all say that. I am complete. I am complete in Christ. If I keep looking at my struggles with sin, then I'll always feel incomplete in Him. Am I right? But if I keep looking at Him, I will always feel what? Complete in Him. Now, church family, we have to wrap our minds around this because, listen, our struggles with sin do not affect our position with Christ. Who's ever had great days of victory in the Lord? Oh, I've had great days. Who's always, about the same time, who's always had moments of defeat, days that you just wanted to push the reset button and say, man, I just wish this day never existed. Let's just go to sleep tonight and hope for a better day tomorrow because today really sucked. And you are complete in Him the days that you fell short. Well, let me be clear about something. Every day of our lives, we will fall short. For all have sinned. That's past perfect tense, have sinned, and fall, present tense, short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, we all fall short every day. But on the days we feel better about ourselves and the days we feel crummy about ourselves, does that change the fact that we are complete in Him? Never changes that. That's an eternal truth. Your position in Christ is an eternal position. All right? So let me say it this way. You are fully loaded in Christ and you are fully equipped. That's part of the sacred secret. You are fully loaded. You are fully equipped. Let me say it this way. You are more than enough in Him. Now, friends, we've got to stop looking at ourselves and we've got to start looking at ourselves through the eyes of Christ. As long as I look at my failings and my shortcomings, I'm going to always fall short. I'm going to always beat myself up. Can I get a witness in the house? This is good teaching, y'all. But when I look at myself through the eyes of Christ and my position that is eternal with Him and in Him, that I measure up, that I am complete, then I won't struggle with insecurity. I won't struggle with inferiority. I won't struggle with feeling, am I enough? Am I good enough? Do I do enough? Do I pray enough? Do I fast enough? Do I read my Bible enough? Who's ever gone through those rigmaroles? Am I enough? The reality is, church family, part of the sacred secret, you are complete in Christ. Okay? Now, I'm going to refer to the New International Version. The New International Version uses, instead of using the word complete, it uses the word fullness. Is that right, Brother John Bob?
Fullness in Christ.
You've been given fullness in Christ. Thank you. Okay, so can I break that down a little further? I know you guys are hungry. Let me break it down and we'll eat here soon, church family. Listen, it says that word fullness is the same Greek word that was used of in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in His body. All the fullness of God dwells in His body. All of God's spiritual DNA, all of God's spiritual DNA dwells in Christ. And then it's the same Greek word that says in Christ, or you have Christ's fullness. Can we see it like this, that the fullness of God falls into the Son and the fullness of the Son falls into every one of us? Are you ready for this? You have God the Father's spiritual DNA in your spirit. The same one that Christ has in His spirit. You are complete in Him. Can you handle that? Can your faith handle that? But Joe, are you saying that I am divine? No, I'm not saying you're divine. Especially you. You're not divine. No, you're not divine. We're not God, church family. I'm not saying we are God like Him. But we have His spiritual DNA in our systems. Who believes that? All right? Let further clarification. Go with me to 2 Peter. Two more scriptures and we're done. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
Following? 2 Peter 1. So the fullness that is in the Father is in the Son. The fullness that is in the Son, we have been made to partake of, right? Isn't that what it said? We have His fullness. We have His pleroma. We have His essence. The essence of the Father is in the Son, and the essence of the Son is in our spirits as children of God. All right? 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's read verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be what? Of the what?
Partakers of the divine.
Partakers of what kind of nature?
Divine.
Partakers of what kind of nature?
Divine.
So am I a heretic in saying that the fullness of the Father is in the Son and the fullness of the Son is in us? We are partakers of what kind of nature? Divine nature. There are no Old Testament scriptures that say that. This is a sacred secret. All right, last scripture. Since we're in 2 Peter, just take a ride to 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God, doesn't that mean when you're born of God, that means you're born again, doesn't it? Whoever has been born of God does not sin, stop there, does not sin perpetually, deliberately, and habitually. You and I will sin. How many of y'all know we're going to sin whether we want to or not, right? We're going to sin because we're sinners. So it doesn't read here that if I'm a Christian, I'll never sin. It just means that I won't habitually, deliberately, and perpetually go on with one particular sin endlessly. At some point, it will affect my spirit, and I'll say, Lord, my conscience bothers me. Forgive me, Lord. Help me overcome this sin. Can I get a witness, please? For his seed, whoever has been born of God does not sin. Why? For his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. He cannot sin deliberately, perpetually, habitually. Now notice, the seed of God remains in us. Ready for the Greek word? Once I say it, you'll know what English word we have. It's a Greek word, sperma. What English word is that? Sperm. A man's essence possesses their DNA, doesn't it? So if God's essence is in us, church family, whose DNA do we have in our spirits? God's DNA. We are partakers of the divine nature, and we are possessors of the fullness of Christ, and that's what makes us complete. Thank you for this time together in your word. Father, help us to wrap our spirit, wrap our minds, sink our spiritual teeth into this truth, Lord, that we are born of God, that even as Jesus possesses all the fullness, all the essence that belongs to you, Father, that we are complete in him and we have the essence, your essence in our spirit through the Son. And that's what makes us complete. That's what makes us full, Lord God. Thank you for the sacred secret, the unsearchable riches of Christ revealed to us, that truly we are children of God, not in name only, not because we are called by it, but because we possess the spiritual DNA in our spirits that backs it up, Lord, by your grace, by your goodness, and by your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.